our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Good? Y'all seem really energetic. Let's see what we got here. Looks like it. Oh, okay. Oh, my goodness gracious. All right. We have a golf ball and some golf tees and a scorecard. Yeah. Now, how many of you all have ever seen golf? That's kind of what I figured. There you go. Yes, exactly. That's exactly right. So golf is the way that God teaches us patience. Yes. Now, the problem with the score, so they give you scorecards. Are y'all paying attention? They give you these scorecards, and these scorecards tell you kind of what the hole looks like, how far you got to go. The problem is they don't leave enough space for you to write your score. Because usually I'm in the 20s when I get to the end of a hole. But you keep track of what you've done and how you've gone, and then you can compare it to the last one and see how much better you are and see if you've improved any. And every day we have the opportunity to improve, right, and to get better and to be better than we were the day before. And when you play golf and you're always trying to get better, as you are in anything, you can keep those scorecards and kind of see how you get better. And we have the opportunity each and every day to get better and to improve and to work on how we follow Jesus and how we lead others to Jesus. Do y'all try to get better every day? Yeah, are some of y'all perfect already? Yeah, a few of you? All right. Well, you got stuff you can teach us. So I want to encourage us every day we have the opportunity to learn more about Jesus, to get better, and to be nice to our parents and our friends and our siblings, all right? So let's pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this day. We thank you for all that you've given to us. We pray that you would continue to guide and lead us in all things. Lord, we thank you for these children, for what they have to teach us, Lord, and what we are humbled and privileged to teach them as well. Continue to help them growing into the men and women that you have called them to be, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you all can go to Children's Church. Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 13, verses 10 through 17. And again, as we hear these words, as we consider the gospel over the course of the next several weeks, we're considering our stewardship campaign and just being mindful of those things. One interesting thing about the Gospel of Luke is that on average, every seven verses is some reference to money or finances in some way or another. That is what Jesus speaks about second most, is money. Does anyone know what he talks about the most? Kingdom of God. And oftentimes he uses illustrations of money to do that. Does anyone know what he talks about the least in Scripture? You can't say it out loud because it's a bad word, but that place down there is the thing he talks about. H-E double hockey sticks, if you will. So, anyway, with that being said, let us hear now from God's Word in Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 17. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath. A woman was there who had been disabled by a spirit for 18 years. She was bent over and couldn't stand up straight. When he saw her, Jesus called her to him and said, "Woman, you are set free from your sickness." He placed his hands on her, and she straightened up at once and praised God. The synagogue leader incensed that Jesus had healed on the Sabbath, responded, "There are 6 days during which work is permitted. Come and be healed on those days, not on the Sabbath day." The Lord replied, "Hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox or donkey from its stall and lead it out to get a drink? Then isn't it necessary that this woman, a daughter of Abraham, bound by Satan for 18 long years, be set free from her bondage on the Sabbath day?" When he said these things, all his opponents were put to shame, but all those in the crowd rejoiced at all the extraordinary things he was doing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for this opportunity you've given us to grow more in love with you. We pray that you would be with the words you have given me to speak this day. May they be yours and not mine. May they open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, our hearts to receive, and our minds to understand. And may we, in the strength of the bodies you have given to us, be faithful to your call upon us. And we ask all of these things in Christ's name. Amen. As I was working on this sermon and considering the passages that we would look at for our stewardship campaign, I came across this passage and began to ask myself this question. How many of us can relate to this woman who has been doubled over for 18 years? This is indeed a heavy burden that she bears. It's physically manifested. We're told in this passage that there is a spirit who has done this to her. She has allowed that to take over her, and she is weighed down and burdened by this spirit. And physically, she is bent over double and unable to straighten up. Now, you may be here this morning and not be doubled over physically, but how many of us tend to be doubled over when it comes to stress, when it comes to anxieties that we have? The thought of money, the thought of resources, the thought of the things that we have to do tend to burden us and cause us great anxiety. Anyone here ever stress out about anything? All right, four of you, that's wonderful. The rest of you have much to teach us. We're told by the American Psychological Association that 64% of Americans have some form of stress around their finances. 64%. And another statistic indicates that 30% are stressed about finances constantly. It is a constant worry in their lives. So 30% of us in here are worried about it today and really are upset that the preacher is talking about it. 64% of us are probably getting there. Money is indeed a stressor. It is something that causes anxiety. And the reason for that is because there's never enough. I think it was Mr. Rockefeller one time was asked, "How much money is enough?" And his answer was, "Just a little bit more." And I can't imagine that that's not something that's crossed our mind from time to time. How many of us this morning have ever thought about how wonderful it would be to win the lottery, right? Right? And we think through all of the possibilities, and life would just be so great if we had that one. But of course, we know that wouldn't be the case. We never seem to have as much as the Joneses who live next door, and that causes us great anxiety and stress. And we carry this baggage. Often, this is just one other bag of things that we tend to carry on a fairly regular basis. And it gets exhausting, doesn't it? How many of us would just like to be free of all of those stressors, all of that anxiety, all of those things that weigh us down? Well, the short answer today is that we can be. Jesus comes to set us free from those things. Have you ever felt that weight being lifted when you've been in prayer and when you've experienced God's presence? It's a very tangible thing, something I've experienced from time to time, something I know that many of us in here have experienced. And in the midst of the stress that we all have, in the midst of all of the things that are going on in our lives, we find Jesus. Jesus is there. He is present. Jesus is there trying to alleviate the stress. How many of you all came this morning and you laid your burdens down at the cross, right? And how many of you, before you leave, are going to pick those right back up and take them out the door with you, right? Leave them here. Leave them here. We'll get them cleaned up later. You leave them here. It's easier said than done. What's so fascinating to me about this passage is that it's Jesus who is initiating this healing. Jesus is the one who initiates this. Somehow, as he's there in the synagogue teaching, he sees this woman doubled over. Now, I imagine it would be rather hard to see her if people are standing and there's people milling about, but he notices her. He sees her. And he has compassion on her. The woman doesn't initiate anything. And when he sees her, he calls her forward. He notes that she has a condition, and then he helps with that condition. You see, Jesus sees her where most of the people have probably learned to ignore her. They know who she is. Chances are in this town, someone like that would be known by everybody. They've learned to ignore her. Jesus sees us as well, though from time to time we learn to ignore one another. Jesus calls her to himself. He says, "Woman, come." And she comes. And in the same way, Jesus is calling each and every one of us today to come, to be set free, to no longer have to worry and be doubled over with the anxiety and the stresses that we tend to carry time and time again. Now, it's very possible and probably likely that she is concerned about her ailment, but over 18 years, I imagine she's learned to live with it. Has anyone here ever learned to live with anything? Yeah? Still doing it. That's right. Abby's learning to live with me, and it's only been almost 9 years at this point. Half as long as this woman. But we learn to live with things. We learn to cope. And unfortunately, we find ways to cope with things that aren't very healthy, don't we? Maybe we overeat. Maybe we indulge in things that we know we ought not to indulge in. Maybe we find other ways to pacify ourselves or bring ourselves comfort. There's a sense that her identity is wrapped up in who she is because of this malady that she has. And I wonder this morning, does this describe you? Are you worried about a great many things? Are there stresses and anxieties that you have that you've learned to cope with? And honestly, you've probably learned to cope with them in ways that are unhealthy. Ways that do more harm than good. Ways that continue to double you over, and to weigh on you, and to burden you. How have you begun coping with these stresses? Are you simply finding ways to manage the burdens instead of coming to Christ and asking him to take them from you? Like this woman today, Jesus sees you this morning. He knows you. He knows what burdens you. He knows what stresses you out. He knows what your anxieties are. And he bids you to come and to be healed, to be set free, so that you don't have to worry about this anymore. So that you can leave it in the past and you can move forward. We see that she straightened up at once and began praising God. And you get this sense that she is standing there with arms lifted, standing straight, forgetting. Maybe she's afraid of heights at this point and she's like, "Holy moly, I'm way up here now." But she is excited and she is praising God with arms outstretched. If we don't allow Jesus to heal us from our burdens, they're only going to get worse. How many of us don't like to go to the doctor when we know something's wrong? Has that ever worked? Or has it gotten worse? I said, oh man, you should have come here several days ago or a while ago. There's something in us that keeps us from seeking healing. There's that sense of pride or that frightened thought that someone might realize we're not as strong as we pretend to be, and we don't seek help when we should. This can be a physical thing. It can be something that's emotional or spiritual. But for whatever reason, we just don't want to admit that fault. We don't want to admit that we don't know or that we don't understand. And we don't want to be set free from it. And it doesn't say that the woman wanted to be healed. But you have to imagine she did. We know that in areas where there are issues in our lives, we have to want to get things straightened out, right? You have to want it first before it can happen. Because if you don't want it, it's not going to occur. And we can sense from what happens to her that she wants it. There are often people, there are systems in place that keep healing from occurring, aren't there? The people rejoice. She rejoices. We see how the leader of the synagogue and some of the others respond to this. They're incensed that there was a healing done on the Sabbath. That's not how things are supposed to work in church. We don't do things that way here. If you want that done, you go somewhere else. You go on another day. Don't bring your problem here. Don't allow yourself to be healed here, because we got to get out at 11 o'clock and we got to beat the Baptist to lunch. I'm obviously joking a little. Your nervous laughter proved to me that, it's getting close. He was angry that rules were broken. How many of us get angry when rules are broken? Do we rely too heavily on these rules? What rules of these that get broken and cause us to get bent out of shape are rules that we have imposed on the situation, rules that we have imposed on how things are supposed to look. We get really frustrated when Jesus does not stay in his nice, neat box. We get really upset when he does something that we are not expecting him to do. We get bent out of shape, literally, when Christ acts, because he doesn't act the way he's supposed to. This woman was physically bound, and she was physically set free. The synagogue leader is now bound, and he has now become a slave to his expectations and the rules that he has imposed on how things are supposed to go. And I wonder this morning, who do we identify with today? Do we identify with this woman who is set free, or do we identify with the synagogue leader who is bound? What are you bound by this morning? What are you bound to this morning? What keeps us from straightening up like this woman and being set free? I imagine there are a great many things that cause anxiety and that cause worry. Jesus wants to set us free. He wants to make us whole. His salvation on Calvary and his resurrection from the tomb means that that is possible. It's possible for each and every one of us. I pray that over the next several weeks, we learn to let go of our sense of expectation. I pray that we get rid of those expectations we have on Jesus and those expectations we have on church and those expectations we even have on ourselves. And really just spend time asking Jesus, what does he expect? What does the Lord require? We learn from Micah that it is to do justice, to love mercy, and walk humbly with God. What does that look like for us? What does that look like for us now? What might that look like for us in the future? How might we relate to that? I pray that we might recognize the areas in our lives where we are bound to stress and to anxiety and to let those go. To let them go. To leave them here. And don't pick them back up. I pray that we might be set free in Jesus Christ this morning. I have up here a little vial of oil. I keep it here all the time just in case there might be someone that wants to come and be anointed, to be prayed over. And I want to offer that to us this morning. During our hymn of invitation, if you feel the need to come and to have burdens and anxieties and stresses set free, if you desire to just be reminded that you are loved by God, then I want to invite you to come and to receive that. So we're going to close today with our closing hymn, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. How fitting a hymn that is. And as we're singing today, if you feel called and you want to come forward and to receive that, then do that. If we get done singing, I know our musicians are wonderful, and they will continue to play until we're all done. So there won't be that awkward silence, I promise you that. So I invite you to come, to be healed, to allow Christ to work in you and through you this morning.